Well, if you remember, when we started Genesis 1, you know, Genesis means beginning. It is the book of beginnings. And as we've traveled through the first chapter of Genesis, we see that he began many different things just in the very first chapter of Genesis. We see that God begins to create the earth and all that is in it. We see that he creates the sun, the moon, and the stars. We see that he creates the animals and the sea creatures. And we talked about that in Sunday school this morning with the kids. What is your favorite animal? You know, what is your favorite sea creature? And we talked about that, that all of those things that God began to create. He's a God of beginnings, and he created these incredible animals. And so we enjoyed this morning just talking about that with the kids. What's your favorite sea creature? What's your favorite animal? And just kind of talked about that, and that was really fun. But as we continue through Genesis, we will see coming up here soon where God begins marriage. The institution of marriage. We see in the book, we also see the beginning of sin in this book of beginnings. Now, God did not begin sin, but we see that sin begins in the book of Genesis. We also see the beginning of the redemption, the redemptive history of God, where God sees that man's sins and begins to unfold his plan of redemption to save and to redeem them. So it's truly a book of beginnings. But now we come to Genesis chapter 2. And so if you open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2, I'd like to read through verses 1 through 3. Genesis 2, 1 through 3. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made." So we see that God in the first day, 6 days, he did all this creation. He came to the end of that creation, and not only did he say it was good, but he said it was very good. But then he comes to the seventh day, and what does he do? Man, God's all tired out, right? Okay, no. But it would seem like that when we look at that. It said that God rested. Obviously, from all that work, he must have been so exhausted that he had to rest. Well, no, that's not really what it means there. The word rested is the Hebrew word Shabbat, which can be translated to rest, but also can be translated to cease, to be still, or to desist from exertion. Remember, God is not like us. I don't know about you, but I got tired this week. I would like to be able to take a nap. We get exhausted. My wife comes from a full day of work. She wants to rest. Well, God is different than us. God does not get tired. He does not get exhausted. And we see in Isaiah chapter 40, beginning in verse 28, listen to this. "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." We serve a God that does not get tired and does not get weary. Could you imagine if all of a sudden he decided to do that? I'm going to take a nap. Because Paul says in Acts 17:28, "For in him we live, we move, and we have our very being." Our very existence, our very breath, the way the universe functions is all controlled by God, and he has to be present for us to exist. so he does not get tired or weary, because if he decided to take a nap, we would be in trouble. For we cannot exist or survive without God's constant supervision. So here we see that when God rested, it was more accurate, you could look at it more accurately, it was that he ceased his work. He had a plan, he laid out his design, and he stopped what he was doing. He was done. He was finished with his work. He ceased from his work. And it was very, very good. So we see, as it says here in God's word, that God rested. We also see in verse 3 here, it said that God blessed the seventh day. That he set apart the seventh day. He made it a special day of rest. He made it holy, and he set it apart from any other day. And God offers on that day a blessing on the seventh day. This day was blessed before Abraham, the father of faith. It was blessed before the law of Moses. So God blessed a day. It was the seventh day, a day of rest. And we'll talk about that more in just a minute. But first, to really understand about this Sabbath, this rest, we just need to dig in a little bit into God's word here. We see that God, as we go further into the book of Exodus, that God commands the Israelites to keep the Sabbath. And he even, okay, and I have a question here. How many people here would say this? We should keep the Ten Commandments. Just curious. Anybody would say, yes, we should put them back in our, okay, keep the Ten Commandments. Okay, we should keep, you hear people, oh, we should keep the Ten Commandments. Well, in Exodus, we see that God, when he commanded the people of Israelites, he gave them the Ten Commandments, and one of the commandments is to keep the Sabbath day. Which commandment is out of the ten? Anybody know that? Yeah, that's right, the fourth commandment. And we see in Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 10, listen to this. This is God that says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So we see here that God commanded the people of Israel to keep the Sabbath. But then we also see here in Exodus 31, listen to this, Exodus 31, 16 through 17 says this. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath through their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. So we see that God made a covenant with the people of Israel to keep the Sabbath day. It was a sign between him and his people to remember that on the seventh day he rested from all of his creation. And if you look further into what you could or could not do on the Sabbath, when you look, you could not do any work. And later when we get in the New Testament, you know that was the debate. What was work? And in the New Testament, man, the Jews really, man, they expanded upon no work to almost really to silliness. But we see at the very beginning that the people of Israel were commanded not to work. They were commanded not to gather food on the Sabbath. Remember when God gave the Israelites manna? They were complaining, I don't have bread. So God brought this manna in the morning, like dew, and it just lay on everything, and they'd collect it. And he told them, you know what? Collect just a certain amount per day to eat. Do not leave it overnight. Some people did, it spoiled. But he said, on the sixth day, gather twice as much. And they gathered twice, and the next day it did not go bad. But still, some people did not listen to God. They went out to gather on the seventh day. And God was not happy with them because they were supposed to stay home and rest. They would have no fire in their dwellings in Exodus 35. In Numbers 15, a man on the Sabbath was found gathering wood. Probably to start a fire. He was brought before Moses, and he's commanded by God to be stoned to death. So God, we see with the people of Israel, he made it it was a command to them. And they were to keep it. And it was to remember God, to be rest for not only themselves, but the animals. And you even see further as you dig into the Old Testament where they would do a Sabbath rest from the land. After 6 years of harvest, there'd be one full year they were commanded not to plant anything that year. And it's interesting is when you think about that, well, how did they eat that seventh year? And God said, you know what? You do this, and on the sixth year, I will give you 3 times more than you need to be able to get you through the seventh year. So you see that God, this idea of seven, the idea of the Sabbath rest, he gave to the people of Israel to rest on the seventh day. So we see that God commanded it to the people of Israel, but what about us? Are we supposed to keep the Sabbath? We're not Jewish. Maybe you have a mixed little bit of Jewish in you, but maybe you're not in that sense fully a Jew, or we are considered what, Gentiles, right? Are we commanded to keep the Sabbath? I'm just kind of curious. Does anyone think here that we are commanded? I'm just curious. Now, no right and wrong. Let's see what you say. Do you think that God commands us as Christians to keep the Sabbath? Okay, so you have some. Okay, you see. Okay. We go to church on Sunday. Okay. So does God command us to keep the Sabbath? How many people here keep the Sabbath? Okay, anybody? In my home, growing up, we kept the Sabbath. Now, Sabbath in different places is different to different people. I mean, if you really held to the Jewish law, well, you'd go home, you wouldn't leave, you wouldn't go shopping afterwards, you'd stay in your home, you'd rest, and stuff like that. But to the Sabbath in the Christian church is a different, people observe it in different ways. As Mormons, we kept the Sabbath. And what we did in our home is we'd go to church, right? Because keeping the Sabbath holy is you go to church, you worship, and you meet with God's people. So it's a day centered on God. But then when we'd get home, my mom would make lunch, we would eat lunch, and then we'd all disperse and go take naps. Now, I heard later that my sister did not like to take naps, so she would just go into her room and read a book. And so we'd take naps, and then that evening, my mom would not prepare dinner. If you were hungry, you'd go in the kitchen, get some snack. We'd make popcorn, and back in that day, the good old popcorn over the stove with oil, and you're shaking it over the stove, right, before the hot air poppers came out and all that, and then we kind of progress from there. And then we'd watch the Sunday night matinee. Remember those good old days and the night that the real movie every Sunday night. That was how I was raised until even when we came out of the Mormon church, my parents still liked to keep a Sabbath. And that's how a Sabbath looked for us. And when I got married to Diana, she had to learn early on in our marriage that I like a certain portion of the Sabbath. And I remember with Diana, you know, we didn't have any kids. We'd go to church, and my wife is a shopper, and she'd want to go make grocery shopping or do some type of shopping, and I would get grumpy. And she's wondering, what's going on? I'm like, what? I'm missing my nap. I was raised. I did it that way. I still like naps. The only thing is I'm older now, and I can't take naps that well, and if I sleep too long, then I can't sleep through the night. But I remember she early on, it was just like she knew, she learned not too long, don't go shopping after church because Reed likes to go home and take a nap. And my wife never appreciated the idea of naps until she had children. And I remember when we were down in Santa Fe, she never understood my family. We'd get together with my family and we could just stay in the house and not go anywhere and just talk, watch a movie and just hang out and do nothing. And my wife's in there, well, the Santa Fe shops are calling my name. I have to go out and shop and shop. And she's loved it. Even though she wouldn't buy much, she wanted to shop. And she never understood the importance of rest to us until we had kids. And now she's like, oh, I want my nap. I mean, she's ready to take naps now. But it was a learning process a difference in the way we celebrated the Sabbath. But still, we come back to the question, as Christians, are we commanded to keep the Sabbath? And I'll say this, let me finish. I'll say, no, we are not commanded to keep the Sabbath. But let me finish before you jump to any. If we look at the early church and the prosper and the way it grew, after Pentecost came down, right? And the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit. We see that the church began to grow. And then many of the Jews were just excited. The church was founded in Jerusalem. Wow, that's awesome. But then as you look further in the book of Acts, something happened that I think even surprised the Jews. All of a sudden, the Gentiles began to come to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit fell on the Gentiles. I mean, think about these guys. Okay, what are they going to do now? They're Jews. They're raised to keep the law of Moses. Even as a Christian, they're still keeping much of the law of Moses. And now these Gentiles come in. What do you do with them? First, there's a hesitance even to believe that the Gentiles have come to know God, but they're being filled in the Holy Spirit, just like the apostles were. And then what happens is there's a Gentile church is birthed in Antioch. So now in Jerusalem, you have the Jewish church. Now you have in Antioch, a Gentile church. And now there's this controversy taking place because there are some Jews that come in and they say, you know what? You Gentiles cannot be saved unless you're circumcised. You guys can't be saved. And then there's other Pharisees from a sect of the Pharisees who believed in Jesus who said, not only do you need to be circumcised, but you have to keep the whole law of Moses. And we see that in Acts chapter 14. And so Paul and Barnabas are there when this comes through, and they are not happy, and they begin to argue with these people that say that. And it gets heated to the point that Paul and Barnabas decide, we're going to go to Jerusalem and ask the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem what we should do with the Gentiles. And so Paul and Barnabas travel to Jerusalem. They really are answering these two main questions. Gentile believers need to be circumcised? Do they have to keep the whole law of Moses? And so we see in Acts 14 where the Jerusalem council comes together with the elders and the leaders of the church, and they kind of debate this issue. What to do for the Gentile believers? And what was the result? And we see the answer to it at a letter that Barnabas and Paul and some other men from Jerusalem went to Antioch to deliver this letter. And this was a conclusion of that letter in Acts chapter 18, beginning in verse 20, it says this. And at the end of the letter, For it seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from the things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these things, you will do well. Here we see them just giving them some simple commands, but we don't see them commanding them, you need to keep the Sabbath day, you need to do what we did. You see them kind of boiling down to these certain things that they told the early Gentile believers to do. And as you look in the New Testament, even these begin to change. As the apostles begin to discover God's will in Christ, even some of these will fall away. In Paul's teaching, you could even see him kind of saying, you know, he addresses this issue of food, meat sacrificed to idols and stuff like that. But listen to what Paul said in Colossians 2, 16 and 17. Paul says to the Colossians, so let no one judge you in food or in drink or in regarding to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. But we also see Paul say in Romans 14, 5, he says this, one person esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in your own mind. I asked you that question, how many of you guys think you should do the Sabbath? How many people here don't think it? That's between you and God as a Gentile believer in Jesus Christ. And like I said earlier, Paul addresses the idea of Christian liberty. When he talks here about some people esteem this day above another. And in 1 Corinthians 8, Paul addresses the same issue of the people eating meat sacrificed to idols. In the council, they said, don't do this. And later, Paul really says, well, you know, it doesn't hurt for you to do this, but if you do it and it causes your brother to stumble, don't do it. But you see kind of a progression as God, through the Holy Spirit, begins to reveal this to the apostles of what his will is for the Gentiles and the Jewish believers. And you see that in 1 Corinthians 8 when Paul addresses the issue of eating meat sacrificed to idols. But what I'm saying is this. We as Christians are not commanded by God through Scripture to keep the Sabbath day. But, I'm going to say this but here. But I do believe that we as Christians should consider keeping the Sabbath. Because God promises a blessing in keeping it. I feel that many Christians, many of us, miss out on the blessings that could be found in the Sabbath. You know, it's interesting, you know, people, when it comes to their diet, when they look to some of the old, you know, the Old Testament law about things you eat, some people are turning that and go, wow, that's kind of more healthy eating when you don't eat pork and you don't eat certain things. Do you guys think God just put the Sabbath there and just say, okay, it's for Israel and that's it, let's go on? You don't think there's something God wanted to let us know that is important for us to keep the Sabbath? Because instead, many of us now, we just focus on living whatever. We come to church, that's our Sabbath, then we go home, we do whatever we want. But is that what God intended the Sabbath to be like? And if we kept the Sabbath, what are the amazing blessings that God wants to do in us through keeping it? Imagine taking a day, you go to church, you go on Sunday, it's between you, everyone holds the day as they want to do it, and you do something differently. Not only does that Sunday, but your whole day, God is the center. He's the focus. Maybe you get together with your family, you do a little devotional that you don't normally do the rest of the week. Maybe you do take a nap that you don't take the rest of the week. Maybe you say, I'm not going to do that because I'm going to keep my kids home because we want to have a time where we just have maybe some family time. A time that's different from all days to rest, to recuperate, and to focus on God. Yes, so many of us are so busy, we barely can breathe. We barely survive in this whirlwind of life, this chaotic storm. We're just too busy to take time to rest and to hear from God. Imagine how your life would be changed if you took a day to do that, to focus on Him. You know, Jesus Himself teaches us some incredible truths about the Sabbath. You know, one thing is that the Jews got frustrated with Jesus because Jesus always pushed past the religious. You know, they had this weird interpretation. Like he'd always kind of rebel against the religious system. And the Jews did not like Jesus. And he came against, and they believed that he broke the Sabbath all the time. Yet Jesus would not stand for it. He would do what he knew was right. And you see in Matthew 12, you see the disciples walking through a grain field. They're going through this field, and they're hungry. And they begin to take the grain and break in their hands and kind of start eating while they're walking along. And some of the Jews saw that. And that was considered work. Well, Jesus did not give in to them at all and gave them some illustrations of why it was not work and that it was okay for them to do what they were doing. And then he establishes an incredible truth about the Sabbath. And in Matthew 28:8, it says this. For the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. As I said earlier, Jesus gave us some practical truths about the Sabbath that can bless us if we choose to keep it. If we want a blessing in the Sabbath, let us take a day of rest and focus on Him because He is the Lord of the Sabbath. Yes, He's the Lord of every day and He should be of every day of our life. But to take a day to rest, to recuperate physically, and to focus on Him. How many of us would say we do that all week? We don't. We're tired. So there is a blessing first in the Sabbath that Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. Second, Mark 2:27 says this, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Do you think that God came into his mind thinking, hey, we need rest. And if we take one day a week on the seventh day to rest, there's a blessing in it. I think he made it for man. I don't think as Christians in our Christian liberty we have to keep it. It's not commanded to us. But there's a principle and a blessing in it. That if we keep it, he will bless us. I mean, it was before the law. And there's some within the church that believe it's firm. Yes, you need to keep it. And there's different interpretations of that. But I don't believe when you look at it, there's a command occur. You have to keep it. But I do believe that we miss out when we don't. And I believe that we need, that we should consider making and having a Sabbath day. So first thing, Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. Second, he made it for you. A day to rest from work, a day to recuperate, a day to focus on him, a day is set aside to refresh for upcoming week. Have you ever done that? And your week goes a lot better. Man, I just got rest. That's why I appreciate about how my parents did for me, because I'll be like, you do kind of get rest and you're more energized. But you don't do that, it's like going into Monday already tired. When God, I believe, has put it in our very inside of us a need for rest. And I believe that's one reason he created a day of rest, because he knew the way we were designed, that we need a day of rest, and we need a day to focus on him, to get our priorities refocused, so we could live for him better that week. There's another principle that Jesus teaches us about the Sabbath in Matthew 12. We see that Jesus went into the synagogue, and there's this man, he had a withered hand. And the religious leaders, okay, we have Jesus now. He likes to heal people. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? And what does Jesus do? He tells them a story. What happens if you have one of your sheep or whatever fall in the pit? Are you just going to leave them there? Aren't you going to help get them out of there? So then Jesus goes and heals that man. And he says in verse 12, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Imagine if we as Christians took the blessing of the Sabbath and we took a day to rest. We made the Lord of the Sabbath in a special, unique way because we're focusing on him more, and we do good on the Sabbath. There's a need. I'm going to skip my nap. I'm going to help that need because I'm going to bless. I'm going to do good on the Sabbath because God, as Jesus gives us a principle, it is okay to do good on the Sabbath. Imagine if we did these three things, how our life might be more refreshed and how our life might be different if we would take the blessing that God has for us on the Sabbath. Because there, I'll tell you right now, there are some here this morning who are you're just weary. Your life is busy. You're exhausted and tired. There's a blessing from God for you by taking a day of rest. Make Sunday different than other days. And maybe you can't. Maybe you have to work. I know some people, the way their job is, they just can't. Well, then pick another day and make it your Sabbath. But if you can make Sunday a Sabbath day, why not come to church to worship? And you see why the past generation, they came to church every Sunday. That was just part of their Sabbath because they're making that day different. You notice how that's changing our culture? I don't have to go to church. I don't have to do this. We almost forsake the idea that coming to church, coming Sunday, in one sense, is focusing on him, is really spending time taking a Sabbath. Come to church to worship God, make him first, take the rest, take a break from normal weekly activities, focus on Jesus, and I guarantee, 100% guarantee, that if you begin to do that, you will see some blessing from it in your life. If I told you today, you give me $100, I'm going to give you $1,000 back next week. Would you do it? I would. Are you kidding me? I believe if we do that when it comes to the blessing of the Sabbath, there is a blessing that God wants to do inside of us. But now we come to the ultimate truth of the Sabbath. Jesus is our Sabbath rest. You know, when I mentioned about keeping a Sabbath, in me, and some others,
you almost think, oh no, another command. If you look at the Sabbath that way as a Christian, we have a wrong perspective of the Sabbath. The Sabbath, the substance of the whole idea of the Sabbath, is that Jesus is our Sabbath rest. If we look at it, that Jesus wants to spend some time hanging out with him so he can make his home in us and we can rest and refresh in him, well, that sounds pretty appealing. I want it. Don't you want that? To be able to come and say, I just get to spend time with Jesus in a different way this week, this day, because I want to be refreshed, I want to be rested, I want to after work, and I can spend time hearing from him. Jesus is our Sabbath rest. In Hebrews 4, 9 through 10, it says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. We see in Genesis here that God finished his work and he ceased from his work and he rested, right? The Sabbath day in the sense is a celebration of the work that God has already done. For the believer in Jesus Christ, it's a celebration of the work that Jesus already finished on the cross and we can rest in its completion. Just think about that for a second here. Think about this. Right now, you don't have to earn God's love in Jesus Christ. Cease striving to earn God's work. Rest in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Okay, I don't have to overcome sin on my own. No. Through the cross of Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can rest in his work that he will empower you to walk through it. We can rest. Jesus is our Sabbath rest. The work of what Jesus did is our ultimate rest. So you may choose to receive the blessing of the Sabbath or not. But the key, the main thing is making Jesus your Sabbath rest, your focus. Make Jesus your focus. In Jesus, you don't have to strive anymore. You don't have to strive in your own strength anymore. Relax in the finished work of Jesus. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. As Christians, when we are weary and tired, let us wait on God. For those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. We can finish, we can rest in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. It's finished. It's done. You don't have to earn his love. You have to make yourself better. You can't, you don't have to try to earn his love because he's madly in love with you. He wants to make his home with you. He wants to bring rest into you because Jesus is our Sabbath rest. And a challenge for you today, are you making Jesus your Sabbath rest? Maybe one way to do that is to take the blessing of the Sabbath. That's between you and God. I believe the most important thing is that we learn that Jesus wants us to come to him as we are so he can fill us with his presence and we can find rest in him. I was talking to a lady I visited this week, and I went to her house, and I was just talking to her, and I just mainly told her, do you know what? God loves you just the way you are right now. You don't have to try to get this way for God to love you more. He loves you right now. You focus on that, and God will begin to start doing the rest in you. Some people want to get here. And they think, God will love me if I get here more, if I do this more, he'll do here. And they always look there and they get so discouraged they never go with God because they don't feel like they could come to him. But if you know that some guy loves, that God loves you perfectly just right now, he wants to hang out with you even in your area of sin right now, then he wants to hang out with you. And when you hang out with him, yes, you start dealing with that area, right? He's not going to turn a blind eye and go, I love you, do whatever you want. No. But he still brings you in. He hangs out with sinners. And then when you get to know him more, he'll start pointing out something in love and gentleness, not in condemnation, not in strictness, judgment. But he'll start bringing, hey, you're doing this. This isn't pleasing me. Because how do you know the difference between condemnation and the voice of God in your life? The wisdom from God is first peaceable. The wisdom of God is peaceable. When God convicts, it's always with hope. When it's ourselves, it's in condemnation, it's in self-doubt, it's in self-condemnation. With him, it's in peace. He begins to, I noticed that there are times I've been convicted, and I knew it was God, because not, I didn't feel any guilt for some reason. I'm not saying there's times that you don't, when you resist God, you feel that his hand heavy upon you, like David says. We get that. But I remember him convicting me, and it was like, wow, it was such a peaceful conviction. I knew what he was saying to me, but I did not feel any heavy condemnation or judgment, because it was God just speaking to me clearly in a loving voice, and I knew it was from him. Is Jesus your Sabbath rest? And then have the worship team come forward. Today, is Jesus your Sabbath rest? Today, do you need that rest? He wants to fill you with himself. Let us worship.